وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت، وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبدك ورسولك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We praise Allah and bear witness there is no God but Him. And we bear witness that Muhammad is His messenger and the prophet. And we invoke Allah's peace and the prayer upon the prophet, his household, his companions, and his followers to the day of judgment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى، إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. Glorified he who set his servant on the night journey from the sacred mosque to the farthest mosque around which we blessed, so as to show him of our signs. He, Allah, is the most hearing and the most seeing. We are now in the memory of this great event in Islam, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, that happened to the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam in what is called as the year of bereavement, because during that year he suffered the loss of his wife Khadija and the loss of his uncle and supporter Abu Talib. And it was a miracle. And there are certain facets of that event that we would like to share today. The journey from Mecca to Jerusalem, that is the earthly journey, is what we call Al-Isra. But this was followed by another journey up there, and higher up, and higher up, and higher up, to where no human, no prophet, no angel had ever reached. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains it, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so as to show him some of our signs. Because it was opportune that the final messenger and the man who would forever be the teacher of humanity should be himself educated like no other. And in the essence, it was an educative journey during which some stipulations can be seen. He met the other prophets, and with them he led the prayer as the imam, signifying that this is the finality of the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to humanity, and illustrating the order of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam amongst his brothers, the other prophets. And the Prophet went up, and the Quran describes it, yes, in Arabic words, but we try to imagine, we try to visualize the scene, the place, what was in it, how did it look like, and we find ourselves completely unable to make any images of what happened. He went until a stage when his guide, Angel Gabriel, told him, "Now we part. I stop here. Beyond this I cannot go, and you go." And Muhammad went until he was in an audience with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah showed him and taught him. And it was real. It was not an illusion. مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ لَمَا تَرَى. His vision did not fail. لَقَدْ رَأَى مِنْ آيَاتِ رَبِّهِ الْكُبْرَى. He saw major signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during that audience, prayer was decreed upon Muslims. Along history, people prayed. But this particular ritual prayer that we do was decreed on that night. And indeed, at least some of us can taste the prayer and live it. And believe me, there are empty prayers and the full prayers. And it is our task to train ourselves more and more until our prayer is a live prayer, not a dead prayer. An audience with Allah 5 times a day. It is like taking a medicine 5 times a day to maintain and keep a therapeutic level so that you remain healthy in heart. And as you go into prayer, you put things in perspective. You started with Allahu Akbar. God is greater than anything else. Because practically at that moment, you are turning your back to everything else in the universe and devoting yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here is when this world shrinks and diminishes and becomes small and becomes something to forget and turn your back to, because God is greater than all else. And as you speak during the prayer, you are talking to Him, and talking to Him in His own language. And it is not a monologue that you speak without an answer. There is an answer but which you cannot hear. Because when you say, "Praise be to God, Lord of the worlds, the compassionate, the merciful," without you hearing it, Allah acknowledges it. "My servant has blessed me and glorified me." Until you say, "Iyyaka na'bud wa iyyaka nasta'in," you only do we worship, and from you only do we cry for help. And Allah would say, "My servant worships me and seeks my help." And then you say, "Guide us to the straight path, the path of those to whom you are being gracious, those on whom you have no wrath, and those who don't go astray." Allah says, "My servant requested, and the request is granted." And you bow down, and you prostrate yourself to the ground. It is a worship where body and soul synchronize in harmony. The worship of the body and the worship of the spirit. And on the way back, Allah shows him further signs. And the Prophet describes them to us in language which we can understand. But it emphasizes that accountability is a truth, is a reality. And you would see various sins and the consequences of those sins. Of course, you can do evil in this world and get away with it, if you are intelligent enough and crafty enough to hide yourself from the law. But you can never escape the watchful eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can never escape the accountability and responsibility for what you choose to do. Because if you missed it in this world, you will face it in the world to come. And Muhammad came back the same night and reported on this journey in the morning and what happened. Some of the closest people to him said, Muhammad, Rasulullah, well, don't talk about it. You know the kuffar are doing their best to tarnish you, and if you claim such a journey which is an impossibility, they'll fuel their tarnishing of you. They will say Muhammad is telling a lie and blasphemy, and everyone would believe them. But what did the Prophet answer? He said, I stand for the truth. The journey was true, and I am going to tell it to everyone. He was not a man to pay a price for preserving his reputation. He was a man to see the truth and to speak the truth. And this was indeed a test for the Muslims. Because when some of them heard about it, they said, oh, Muhammad has lost his nerve and lost his sanity. And some of them became hesitant and some left Islam. And then in a challenging way, the unbelievers would go to Abu Bakr and very mockingly tell him, did you hear what your friend says? And they tell him about the journey. And Abu Bakr would say, إِن كَانَ قَالَ فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. If he said that, then it is the truth. I do believe him when he tells me that revelation comes to him from heaven through an angel. And if I believe him that much, I would not doubt him now. And that is why Abu Bakr took the nickname Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the one who believed the Prophet in this. And speaking of that journey, there are certain issues that present themselves to us. The journey from Mecca ended in Jerusalem. The ascension started from Jerusalem. So we are religiously bound to Jerusalem. We do not deny that the others are bound to it too. But this is not exclusive. No one can say, it is mine, it is my only interest, and nobody has anything to do with it. It was the site of the Isra and the Mi'raj. It is the valley, the surroundings of which Allah has blessed. It was for some time the Qibla that Muslims prayed at. And others say, no, but our prophets lived here. And we Muslims say, your prophets are our prophets also, and equally. And therefore, when someone claims that Jerusalem is mine, and mine only, we have to refute it. Religiously, Jerusalem is ours, all of us. And if Jerusalem was a room with a key, then it would be fair to give that key to the one who acknowledges the others. As a Muslim believes in Christianity and believes in Judaism, Christians and the Jews will never be wronged in Jerusalem. It is better than putting the key in a hand that says Christianity is a blasphemy and Islam is a blasphemy. And Jerusalem is our responsibility. We have happened now to be defeated on the battlefield. Muslims do not have atomic bombs, but Muslims have the right, and they should work to be deserving of that right. This is our right, but the important thing is, do we deserve it? And all the enemies want now is to put defeat into your heart, as they put it into your land. Things are temporary and transient and fleeting, unless inside you feel defeated and you give up. So come what may, Jerusalem does not belong to the Jews only. The Muslims have the right on Jerusalem. Jerusalem was surrendered to the Muslims at the request of the Christians. When Bishop Sophronius sent to Caliph Umar that I would like to surrender Jerusalem to the Muslims if you come personally to receive it, and Umar went and received it and respected the rights of the Christians, and when it was time to pray and he was visiting a church, he went out to say his prayers, and when the bishop told him you can't pray here, he said no, I fear that some Muslims in the future might come and say Umar prayed here and violate the church. And it was the specific request of the Christians in Jerusalem that the Jews wouldn't go there. But it was the Islamic justice that prompted Umar to tell them, well, I will not allow them to live here, but we will allow them to come and to do their worship and to hold their ritual in it. And this is where Islam has a built-in mechanism to safeguard the right of the other and to regard them as people of the book, the fellow believers in the one God and the fellow recipients of scriptures from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes politics and religion mingle. In Islam there is no demarcation between politics and religion, because in Islam right is right and wrong is wrong, and it is the duty of every Muslim to stand up and support right and curb the wrong. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم سلوا ربكم يستجب لكم. الحمد لله بفضله تتم الصالحات وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله قدر كل ما مضى وكل ما هو آت وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. My dear Muslim, the march of history is long, but it always curves towards justice. Things are happening and they are not permanent. Things will happen even not during our lifetime. But the question of our judgment will be, did we do our best or less than our best? Or did we just consider it enough to be onlookers and watch things as they happen? Alhamdulillah, Islam is growing. Muslims are reverting to Islam. More and more people are accepting Islam. Islam is being more accepted and respected in this country, which is the pacemaker of the world. And just march on. There are setbacks, but on the whole, we are making progress. We should be encouraged. We should at any rate prepare ourselves to the day that will come when the question will be posed to us, what did you do? And the contract with Allah is not one of achieving results, but the contract is one of doing our best. So at least make yourself ready to go and say, I did my best. We ask Allah to enable us to do our best and to fill our hearts with His love and to fill our hearts with the love of our fellow Muslim and the fellow human being. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك يا ربنا سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات يا رب العالمين. اللهم املأ قلوبنا بمحبتك. اللهم انزع ما في صدورنا من غل. اللهم بارك أخوتنا فيك. اللهم أحينا وأمتنا وابعثنا على لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد والحمد لله رب العالمين. عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.